So it's my pleasure to invite Carl, who's going to share with us a bit, first of all, about faith in later life. And I'm going to give him a short break while we read a scripture, and then he's going to bring a short word from the scripture as well. So over to you, Carl.
Thank you. Can you all hear me? Good. So it's really good to be here. Thank you for having me and for welcoming me. I had a very warm welcome at dinner last night and again at breakfast this morning. Food isn't always the theme of my enjoyment, but it was very good, and I slept well. I'm just going to take you through a little bit, introduce you to faith in later life, if that's okay. I'm sorry if you can't see it very well. I will be around for tea and coffee afterwards, so if you have any questions or you'd like me to share this with you, then I'm very happy to do so. Whenever I go to visit anywhere, it's always interesting because people know I'm coming to talk about faith in later life, and they might not know who's coming to see them. And so often when I walk into a church or afternoon group, they presume I'm just carrying the bags for the older chap who's coming afterwards. So I don't know what you thought or who you were expecting. But I just wanted to share a little bit about myself very quickly, just so you have a sense of who the chap is who's talking to you about this really important area of ministry and of the church. So as Ian said, I live just on the edge of South London, in a place called Sanderstead. It's a little village within Croydon. And whenever I say Croydon, people kind of groan or mutter under their breath, but it's very nice. And my wife Susie is a nurse, and I have two small children, Gracie, who's 3, and Jacob, who's 5. And I gather they didn't sleep very well last night. So, one of the reasons I'm here is I used to work for the same organisation that Mandy works for, Pilgrim's Friend Society. And Pilgrim's Friend Society, I'm going to talk through this, so don't worry if you can't see it. Pilgrim's Friend Society are one of the organisations of 5 who founded Faith in Later Life, along with London City Mission, Key Change and Mission Care, who are also 2 Christian care providers, and then the Salvation Army. Faith in Later Life was created just 2 years ago by these 5 organisations because they had a sense that there wasn't one body, one Christian organisation that really focused on older people in the church. With a sense that many churches had youth ministers and families pastors and those sorts of things, but there was a gap in terms of supporting churches in ministries with older people, and also thinking about actually, as a church, are we behaving appropriately? Are we missing out when it comes to a huge chunk of the proportion of the church? And also in the knowledge that there are many older people living in communities who might be lonely. So Faith in Later Life was set up, and as I was working for Pilgrim's Friend Society at the time, they said, can you do this too? So I said, okay, let's do it. This is really, really exciting. And it's quite funny, actually, because in my personal walk with the Lord, I've always been involved with Christians Against Poverty. I've done youth work. I've worked in prisons. And I've never been involved with older people. But the Lord brought me to something that has really been a real blessing and a privilege for me. And so what about Faith in Later Life? The reasons that Faith in Later Life exists is because there are almost 12 million older people in the UK, and the church more broadly tends to be older than younger in terms of compared to the nation. We know there are many, many older people who are lonely in the community who might not know the Lord, but we also know that as a church, and we look in the Bible and we'll be doing so later, church is meant to be intergenerational, and when we're not intergenerational, we're missing out. And so Faith in Later Life really wanted to do something around this. We wanted to think about how can we best serve and empower older people in church and reach older people outside churches who don't know the Lord. And I'll be speaking later from Psalm 92, and that's one of our key scriptures for Faith in Later Life. We want to see older people in church flourishing, and as a result, church flourishing, and of course, older people who don't know the Lord coming to know him. So we Faith in Later Life doesn't do anything, but we want churches, we want to encourage churches and Christians to reach older people in their local communities and to serve and empower older people in churches. Because we have a vision. What would church look like where many older people are leading prayer ministry, are talking to younger people about what it looks like to be a Christian for 60 or 70 years. My young children, the first thing they do when they get into church is run towards Betty, who's a friend of ours in church, and she's so full of wisdom. And they would really, their lives would be poorer if it wasn't for the time they spend with the older people in our church. And so that's enough talking from me just now. I'm just going to show you a little video, which also seeks to really set the context around why Faith and Later Life exists. And again, if you can't see it very well, I can send it to you afterwards, and it's also on the front page of our website. So let's see what the technology can do. So I hope that was helpful. Again, just to draw this sort of section to a close, whenever I'm meeting with parliamentarians, MPs, civil servants, or I'm on the BBC radio or local radio stations or Christian radio, there's always quite a sense, for me it feels, that society is quite ageist, and we could do a whole session on that, and we're not going to, but church is so ideally placed across the whole nation, you know, 45-odd thousand churches, and in church, often there is that emphasis on younger people, and that's really important to me with two small children, but it's not an either-either situation. Church is intergenerational, so we want to say, actually, if church does things correctly how the Bible says it should, and models that to society, then things can change. And change for the better. So the practical things that Faith and Later Life offers is resources. So on our website, we have over 150 resources for different areas to do with later life. Practical ways to support reaching out to care homes. Information around dementia. Things about how to make church intergenerational. Loads and loads of things. And you can either order them from our website or download them for free, depending on which they are. And we also, as I said, want to equip churches or encourage churches who are already doing good things, how they can reach out further and more effectively into local communities when we know that there are over 1 million older people who are always or often lonely, and 3.9 million older people who see the television as their primary source of contact during the week. We don't think that's okay. We know God doesn't think that's okay. So we're really wanting to champion the voice of older people and older Christians. And so I spend a lot of my time doing that as well. And you definitely can't read that, but that's okay. It's just really talking about a few of the other things that we do on the website as well. We launched a Church Champion Network last year, and Mandy is a Church Champion for Faith and Later Life here, and we have over 100 Church Champions across the UK and also abroad, because we know that lots of people don't necessarily want to go on the internet, so we're trying to bring how we support and walk alongside churches in supporting them when it comes to later life through people. And incidentally, we call it Later Life because what does old age even mean, actually? Age UK will say it's 65 and above, and so when we talk about 11.9 million older people and 1 million older people who are always lonely, that's the statistic we're using. But we know that there are some people who might be 60 who might feel like they're 80 because they've had challenges. We also know that there might be people who are 85 who will punch you on the nose if you say they're old. So it really depends. So we call it later life. We don't want to be prescriptive. Sometimes I feel young and sprightly. Sometimes I don't feel quite so young and sprightly. So, and we're also doing lots of other exciting things. We have commissioned a book that's coming out next year, which is going to be really encouraging to think about how we finish well as Christians. And we've also got a conference with Keswick in the spring next year, which is going to be a whole week of this sort of stuff. And we have, as I said, over 150 resources. One of the other things that our website does is if you type in your postcode, it brings up all the churches around you which are running lunch clubs and outreach events for older people. So if you have an elderly aunt in Scarborough or somewhere, for example, you can type in to our website and it shows you what's going on. And local authorities are already sharing that through GP surgeries and other places in some counties as we try to bring together society that's often fragmented and forgets older people who might be isolated. And the reason we do this is ultimately because we believe that it's God's plan for what we're doing. But we want to see lives changed. And so there are two people up there. There's Betty, who I mentioned. And I need to update that slide because she's 99 now. She'll kill me if she sees that. She's someone who goes to my church. And she lives in retirement housing. And she's not somebody who's shy and retiring necessarily. So I'm not going to suggest that we've changed her world. But we have really encouraged her. She loves the fact that she's feeling championed as an older person by Faith and Later Life. And then there's Jane, and Jane's not her real name, but Jane phoned me when I'd been on BBC Manchester Radio, and she said that she was housebound, she was very sick, she has fibromyalgia, and nobody was coming to see her, and she was a Christian. And we were able to get in contact with the Christian Befriending Service in Greater Manchester, who then sent someone to see her. So practically there are ways where Faith and Later Life is really trying to bring together the church when it comes to how we should be serving older people also. So that is pretty much all I want to say for this section. Please pray for us. If you want to know more about this work, please come and see me afterwards. It was, as I said, set up in 2017. I've been doing this for just over a year, and I'm now doing it full time from July because I kept on and on at people that this needed to be done full time. This was so important. So we have funding until next March, and we're just praying, expectantly that God will provide it, and we're sure he will. But if you want more information, do go on our website or speak to me, and we have a monthly newsletter in case that's something which is interesting to you. And for those people who are interested in going on the website, I'm just going to give you a brief little sort of cartoon tour now, and then that'll be the end of this section. So thank you for listening. I hope that's helpful. There are some leaflets as you enter or leave church if you want to take them away with you today. And Ian, that's the end of this section. Thank you very much.
Carl already mentioned that Psalm 92 is a key text, and he's going to share a little bit on some of the verses. But I thought we'd just read it all. It's not too long a psalm. It's on page 600 of the Church Bibles, if you want to follow it in there, page 600. And I'm just going to read it through. A psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Lord Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand. That though the wicked spring up like grass, and evildoers and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. For surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have seen the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him."
So, can you still hear me? Good. I was a bit scared about having two microphones. I thought it might make a horrible noise. Thank you for listening to that about faith and later life. I wanted to do that first because obviously I wanted you to be left of the scripture at the end, and it's a privilege to be able to share scripture with you today. And the passage that I wanted to focus on was at the end of Psalm 92. So just to recap, Psalm 92 verses 12 to 14 says this: "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They're planted in the house of the Lord, and they will flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green." So I'd like to spend the next few minutes reflecting on where we have our roots and focus on three words from the passage: righteous, flourish, and fruit. As I mentioned earlier, I really like this passage because it encapsulates the Faith and Later Life mission to inspire and equip Christians to reach, serve, and empower older people in every community, that they might live fulfilled and fruitful lives, and as the passage says, still bear fruit in old age. Of course, when we read through this passage, we see that it appears to be referring not to all older people or everyone, but those who are righteous. So who are righteous people? Well, they're those Christian believers, they're us, those who are living in a relationship with the Lord Jesus. But we know that being righteous doesn't mean that we are good people who've earned our way into God's favour. We're those who love and serve God, and have confessed our sins and have been made right with God through Jesus. And whilst this passage doesn't refer to older people everywhere, as we who are righteous but weren't always righteous, well, we can point to God and point to his saving grace, that all who encounter him can be made righteous. And as I was sitting here this morning, we arrived at 9:30, because I like to be really, really early, so that was really good. And I was looking around at these wonderful plaques you've got to all those who've come before. And the one just there, to the Reverend for the Reverend Benjamin Pollard, a previous minister here who went to glory in 1818. One of the things that it says up there is that he's the honoured instrument of turning many to righteousness. And I thought that was wonderful, because it is an honour to point those to the Lord Jesus and turn them to righteousness. And in this psalm, the writer compares righteous people to two kinds of tree, the palm tree and the cedar of Lebanon. The palm tree is the date palm, famous for its beauty. And apparently, it can grow to 90 feet tall, and it's said to be the most useful tree on the earth. There are places in the desert which would be uninhabitable if it weren't for the date palm. It can grow where no other useful tree can grow. And interestingly, date palms can still bear fruit when they're more than 100 years old. The palm tree symbolises the beauty and usefulness of believers who have their roots in God. And then there's the cedar of Lebanon. This tree is magnificent and strong and can grow to 8 feet wide and up to 130 feet tall. In ancient times, its wood was used for shipbuilding and for everything solid and sturdy. And it was used for the wooden parts of Solomon's temple and David and Solomon's palaces. So as believers made right by God, he sees us as beautiful, strong, and useful. And as we long for others to know the saving grace of Jesus and be made righteous, perhaps, as with the date palm, we can think about how we can be useful, winning others for the kingdom. How we can grow where no other plant will grow. How we can be a blessing to those around us. So what about flourish? That makes me think of Strictly Come Dancing. I don't really know why, but that's a shocker. That wasn't even in my notes. It just came to me. We who love the Lord are planted in the house of the Lord. We flourish in the courts of our God. A successful plant puts down roots in soil and takes goodness from the soil to enable it to grow. As we spend time with our Lord, reading his word, being planted in him, we, in regular communion with him, will flourish. I have two young children, as I mentioned earlier, and last Sunday I was woken by my son at 5:30 in the morning. I wasn't overjoyed because I was leading the service that morning and I was tired. And then on Tuesday, I was woken up by him at 5:08. And I always remember the minute, because it's important, because I'd have felt better at 5:10. It was his first day back at school and he was really excited. And then on Wednesday, my daughter decided to wake up at 3:30 in the morning and stay awake till 5, by which time my getting back to sleep was an uphill battle. I didn't feel like I was flourishing. And sometimes when I'm very busy at work and my wife, who's a nurse, is on a series of late shifts, we might not see each other very often in a week, and life can feel weary. And again, we don't feel like we're flourishing. And humanly speaking, there are many occasions when, despite being a follower of Jesus, I don't feel like I'm flourishing. But spiritually, as we ensure we spend regular time with God, we will flourish, even if humanly speaking it doesn't feel like it. Because of Jesus, we have a hope and a joy that no one can take from us. The Lord Jesus is our flourish. We need to fix our eyes on him, whatever our circumstances or age. 4 years ago, my father, who had cancer, passed away and went to be with the Lord. And that was very hard for me and my family. But in the 2 years he had cancer, and the last 2 weeks of his life particularly, I saw his kingdom flourish. Even in his hospital bed, he would quietly ensure he had his devotional time before he switched the radio on to listen to the test match. He wasn't always smiling, but his flourish was his desire and determination to spend time with his Lord. And his hope and joy meant that he had an earthly impact and flourish too. And he insisted he learnt the name of every nurse and cleaner on that ward, bringing something of Jesus to them every day. And I remember when he passed away, the lead nurse on that hospital ward saying there'd been something different about him. So you see, friends, when we're planted in the house of the Lord, we will have a spiritual flourish. Even if we're older and feel frail, even if times are hard, even when times are hard, because Jesus is our flourish. And as I've touched on already, that flourish leads to fruit. Flourish leads to fruit. Many older people may question how they can still bear fruit in old age. And as I mentioned earlier, society all too often suggests that once we reach a certain age, our value reduces or even ceases. But God disagrees. And our passage today is very clear, saying they will still bear fruit in old age and they will be fresh and green. And we saw a little bit on that video earlier that the Bible is full of older people being given a mission by God. Moses and Aaron were commissioned when they were in their 80s. Daniel went into the lion's den when he was around 80. Joshua was striving for the Lord aged 100. Anna, such a godly woman, was 105 when she was waiting to meet the baby Jesus. What a wonderful promise to know that believers will flourish and grow, and that doesn't stop at a certain age. God continues to grow us, whatever our age and stage, and we will still bear fruit and be fresh in older age. And as I looked back on the whole psalm, Psalm 92 today, I was reminded of verse 5 that says, "How great are your works, O Lord! How great are your works, O Lord!" There's no expiry date on the Lord's works. His works aren't great till 64. And actually, having reflected on this, it's actually quite clear and eminently sensible that we still bear fruit in old age. Because with age comes wisdom and perspective. It can be easier to see what's important, where we may have had our heads and hearts clouded by other things in our younger years. Of course, there'll still be those people who are stereotypically grumpy older people, but such people, I suggest, are probably grumpy younger people too. Older people have accumulated much that is useful over the years, often having had the benefit of many rich friendships, even though some of those friends may no longer be with them. Older people will have had more life experience in both blessing and suffering and disappointment, and so bear witness to the reality of faith and the preciousness of knowing Jesus in their lives. And so as you listen to an older Christian's story, to their wisdom and perspective, there's much fruit for you and for us. And if you haven't paid attention to an older Christian, then do. A good friend in my church, Betty, who I mentioned earlier, is 99 and a widow, and she lives in retirement housing and tells me that she's not ready for a care home yet. And she's such fun. My kids run straight for her every Sunday when they go into church, and I'm worried they're going to knock over her Zimmer frame. It's a real worry to me, actually. Church is meant to be intergenerational, and I find Betty's perspective such a blessing and encouragement. On one occasion, I was grumbling about being woken up at 5:30 in the morning by my kids. It's a bit of a theme. And she just quietly said to me, "I'm up at 5:30 praying, having been up at 4:30 for the day." And she wasn't boasting. She has many health problems, but all she asks for prayer when she emails me on her iPad is that the Lord would prompt her, the Holy Spirit would give her an idea of how she can be more useful for the Lord. And she's not perfect, and she grumbles like the rest of us, but she's such an example as an older Christian. And then there's the fruit and legacy of my father in his older years, although he was still relatively young, which impacted so many around him. And the Christian witness of an older person close to going home to glory is so utterly credible and powerful. And my dad's story is one of the reasons I'm standing here today. So as the scripture for today tells us, we will still bear fruit in old age, even if we don't feel like we're always in a position to do so. Prayerfully, let us just allow God to use us where we are. And if we're younger, whatever that means, in this room today, let's be thinking about how we'll be bearing fruit in old age, as well as today. What's our legacy going to be? What's your legacy going to be? Whatever our age, may we be greatly encouraged today, knowing that God has plans for us for the whole of our lives as we continue to follow him. When Betty was 98 a few months ago, she was already planning her 100th birthday party. The plans that we have, but more importantly, the plans the Lord has for us, don't stop at any particular age. Whatever our age, as we serve the Lord, we will bear fruit and remain fresh. So let us think about how our lives can be fruitful and the gifts God has given us, and be thankful knowing that whatever our age, we will flourish in the courts of our God. Let's pray.